Okay, good chaydash, everybody. So, big mazel tov to Shoshana Lianz, who is getting married today. Yes, 3 hours ahead of us. And she also, last month, she said, who'll sponsor the shiur? I said, what about you? And she was like, yes. So it's so beautiful that she is sponsoring the shiur in honor of her marriage today. She's truly building her home on Torah and on chesed. Such a beautiful thing. And she should have a binyan ade'ad together with her chassan, who will very soon be her husband. So a big mazel tov to Shoshana. And she organizes together with Daniela. Thank you so much, Daniela. And my daughter, Basi Cohen, and her husband also co-sponsoring today. So that was really, really nice. And they should be blessed. Baruch Hashem, they live here, so I am blessed. We are blessed. But yeah, they should be blessed with nachas and gesund and parnasa for all this, for this beautiful mitzvah. So this series... Some of us have been here before, some of us are new. We're looking at the theme of each month and like the psychological, spiritual journey of the months. So I'm realizing that we actually have the same theme a lot, but it's coming from totally different angles. So we are going to go through that. So this is Adar. So Adar is the beginning of like summer, like you said. What is it about Adar that's your favorite? Like, what makes it your favorite?
My birthday.
Oh, happy birthday. You and Moshe Rabbeinu. Beautiful. What day of the month?
Tomorrow.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. So, Adar. Oh. Station break for a second. Okay. So, Adar. Adar is a really strong month. Adir b'marom Hashem, God in the heavens is great. There's this incredible strength in Adar. And also, I thought this was cool, Adar is Aleph Dalet Resh. Aleph is Hashem, right? One is Hashem. Dalet Resh, Hashem is living in Adar, Dar, living in it. So Hashem is living in Adar, like he's hidden in Adar. We could see that through the theme. And also... Hashem, a message for us, Hashem is dar, Hashem is dira betachtonim, that it's our job to bring Hashem to live into this world. So it's for Hashem, but it's also for us. We could look at it from each side. So I want to share one of my very favorite Purim stories. Purim is highly connected with Adar. And I think it shows the power of Adar. And I could not find this story in any of the storytellers, although I'm sure that's where it's from. If you know it, if you correct me, great. My mother said it sounded good to her. So, classic story starts off with a family. Yeah, come sit here. Starts off with a family, and they are desperately poor. They have no money. They live in Eastern Europe. They live on the outskirts of a village. And it comes Purim morning, and they're still fasting from Tanis Esther because there's no food in the house. And everyone is really, really sad. The husband says, okay, he's going to go to shul and hear Megillah because it's Purim, so he's going to do that. So he goes to shul, he listens to Megillah, and he goes over to the rabbi, and he says, Agud Purim. And the rabbi says to him, Agud Purim, and you will bring me shalach manas. You know the story? No? Okay, great. Okay, the rabbi says he has to bring shalach manas. He has no money. I'm sorry, I did not put my phone on vibrate, so let me just do that right now. Please put your phones on silent. So what's he going to do? He has no money. So he goes into the store where they sell wine, and he says, please give me a bottle of wine. I don't have money, but it's Purim. I'll pay you another time. And he gets wine. And he goes and he gets a loaf of bread. He says, it's Purim. I don't have money. Don't worry. Just give it to me. And he goes and he gets some herring, and it's Purim. Don't worry about it. And he comes and he brings the shalach manas to the rabbi, and the rabbi's happy, and he's happy, and they make a l'chaim, and they feel so good, and the rabbi blesses him with parnasa. He should have sustenance and wealth, and he leaves the rabbi. And then he realizes he has a family that's starving, waiting at home. So he thought to himself, 1 minute, it worked for the rabbi. I'll do it for my family. He goes back to the liquor store. I hope he got some grape juice. And he says, it's Purim. I'll pay you another time. He goes and gets bread. He says, it's Purim. I'll pay you another time. He gets herring. He comes back with all the goodies. He walks in. Everyone is so excited. And they sit down. They wash. And they're eating food. And they're so happy. And there's a knock on the door. And they live in the middle of nowhere, so it's a little scary. So they open the door, and this old man falls on the floor. He's been beaten, he's bruised. He falls on the floor, so they take him, they revive him, and they care for him. And he, after a couple of days, he says to them that he lives nearby, a non-Jewish farmer, and his son, he has all of his money for that he saved up from all his life. He hid it. He buried it under a tree. And his son wants the money. And his son beat him to get the money because he wouldn't tell his son where the money was. He says, there's no way my son is getting the money. You took care of me. You saved me. I'm going to tell you exactly where it is. And he told them where all his life's money savings was. And shortly thereafter, he passed on. And they took care of him. Respectfully, and then they went and they got the money, and they lived happily ever after. They had plenty of money for the rest of their lives. So what? A very classic Eastern European story. What do we learn from this story? Trust in Hashem. To trust in Hashem. Okay, he trusted. What else? What do we learn from the attitude, from what happened? Huh? That it's good to have the attitude, it's all going to be okay. Just go in with that attitude.
I think it's just a lot of emuna, bitachon, and trusting the tzaddik, whichever rabbi that was.
Yeah, that's a beautiful one. I hadn't thought of that one, of trusting the tzaddik and going with the tzaddik said, bring me shalach manas, so he's bringing it. That is good. That is very good. That fits in with the shir very well. I also thought of it in this way, that going into this story, this man thought he had no money and he had nothing to eat, and he didn't. And then his whole perception of reality just changed, where it's like, I need to get shalach manas, and suddenly everything overturned. So this is the kayach of Adar, to overturn things with our joy and with our attitude. This is an incredible kayach, and what it does is it prepares us for something very, very special. Huh? Any ideas what it prepares us for? Yes, Pesach is coming. It prepares us for Mashiach. Mashiach is going to turn our worlds upside down. Life is not going to be the same when Mashiach comes. It's going to be upside down. So we can practice turning our lives upside down through joy and through all the parts of Adar that we'll go through. We're practicing for Mashiach. So we will be caught unawares, but we'll have been, you know, it's like doing a fire drill, right? When the fire comes, you know what to do. So Adar is going to practice us so we know what to do. So where is this attitude coming from? How do we achieve it? And how can we apply it to our relationships? And in honor of Shoshana, how do we apply it to marriage specifically? So Haman is going to help us with this. He did not mean to help us with this. He did not want to help us with this. He did not get Adar. Sometimes the best learning experiences are through what we don't get. So Haman thought that Adar was a nothing month. He was very excited. He's figuring out when is a good time to hit the Jews, to get rid of the Jews. And every month had something good in it, had a festival. Adar was empty. What did Adar have? Adar had the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu passes away. So Haman liked that even more. But the Gemara says he didn't realize that Moshe Rabbeinu's birth was also in Adar. So I was thinking about this, and this is now going to be my own thoughts, okay? Why was that information not available to Haman, that Moshe Rabbeinu was born? Like, if he knew, had all the other information, why didn't he realize this? And I think this is my idea. Huh?
I always have that question.
Okay, so this is, I think he didn't see it. I think because he didn't get the significance of the birthday, because he didn't get its importance, because he didn't get what it means, because Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday is so much about nothingness and about bittul. Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all men, and it was so much about being nothing, then Haman was so full of ego and so full of himself that I don't think he could see that this was an important day, that there was significance in nothingness, that there was power in nothingness. That did not make sense to him. Power is power. You know, me. I am powerful. Not I am powerful by being nothing. So that was my... And then I thought, what do we see in our lives? Because very often we don't realize what we're seeing, or we don't see things, or we see things in a different way based on our own perspectives, based on very often our ego. So we want to see how we can see things from our essence, from our neshama. And that is also part of Adar, to reveal that essence. So let's look at birthdays. Because Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday gives the koach to overturn everything. So birthdays are really cool. The Rebbe made a very big deal about birthdays. It's your own Rosh Hashanah, and there's all different ways to celebrate, and it's an incredible day. Happy birthday to you for tomorrow. It's going to be your mazel. So it says that your mazel is strong on your birthday. Now, I had the question, I thought, ein mazel b'Yisrael. We're not constrained by luck, by mazel, by astrology. That's not what we Jews, we're above that, we're beyond nature. So what does this mean that your mazel is strong on your birthday? Any ideas? That's really cool. So your mazel is your life force. Where does our life force come from? Yes, it comes straight from Hashem. It doesn't come through the nature, astrological, all that stuff. Our life force comes direct from Hashem through our neshama. We just need to uncover it. It's in a bit of a gullus in our body, so we need to uncover it. But our life force is very, very strong. We get extra energy. We get energy for the new year and new energy. So mazel has the root word nozel, drips. Mazel not only is our life force, but it extends into this world. It drips into this world. And that's Adar. That this incredible power, it ends up affecting this world. It drips down into this world. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it's his birthday. So what is special about Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday that it should impact the entire month? So much so, Mishenichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. That when Adar comes, I said to my daughter this morning, so like, what should I do for dinner? Can we do something fun? We didn't come up with anything. Oh, yes, Bracha's making gluten-free hamantashen, yes. Yes, they looked really good. Yeah. I didn't ask if I could eat them, but I have been tasting other ones, and they taste good, too. My daughter bakes gluten-free stuff, so they're making hamantashen, yeah. Baruch Hashem. Yeah, it's really good. So Moshe Rabbeinu is born, and his mazel is strong. What's incredible, Zion, on the 7th. Right. Again, the number 7 represents nature. So Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing down Hashem into nature. His birthday, Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday. The 7th of Adar. Yeah. So Moshe Rabbeinu, now I tried finding this quote because I remember it from a couple weeks ago, Hanasi Hu HaKol in Rashi. I don't know if anyone else, I remember it a couple weeks ago. But it's definitely in Parshas Chukas where the Torah refers to Moshe Rabbeinu as Yisrael. It says, and Yisrael sent messages to ask Sichon if Bnei Yisrael can go through. And somewhere else it says, Moshe sent messages. So Moshe is Yisrael, Hanasi Hu HaKol. So we come up to this whole concept, which is a whole concept in and of itself that we will touch upon, that Hashem has provided in each generation a neshama, a godly soul that draws down the energy. It's like the neck bringing down the energy from the head to the body. The Nasi, the leader of the generation, draws down spirituality and physical, all the physical blessings, down into all the neshamas of all our people. So in our life force neshama, we've got Moshe Rabbeinu's neshama putting life force into our life force. It's all connected up there. So when Moshe Rabbeinu's mazel is strong, when this uber neshama, this super neshama is so strong, this impacts all of us. Our mazel is strong. We have the power. Not it's our own power, it's this spiritual power that's coming from us.
So his life force gives our life force more life.
Yes.
Stronger mazel when his. Okay,
that's. Yeah, because it comes through. He's a conduit. The spirituality comes through the Nasi.
And the same goes for like Yidachnissan and like all of these.
Yes. Yes, why do we celebrate in Chabad and everywhere? We celebrate birthdays of big, big rabbis because they not only impacted us that they taught Torah and they helped us, but spiritually, they impact us. Spiritually, they give to us, and we can give to them as well by doing things in their zchus. And please, if you can sign, there's a paper going around. Here, if you didn't sign, we're going to send in all the names to the Rebbe. When we do things because of the Rebbe, because of a neshama, we give life back up. We bring it. So there's a relationship there. But yeah, but that's why I care about Yud Alef Nissen, because it actually impacts us. It gives us energy. So this is for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu in every single generation. So it's sort of sad that Moshe Rabbeinu, once he became the Nasi, didn't really have a personal life. Like, his entire life was the Yidden. He was ready to give up the Torah. He was ready to give up. He broke the Luchos for us. Like, that's how strong this soul connection is. It is like one. Machenina. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu said after the Chet HaEgel, take me out of your book. Like, if you're going to kill Bnei Yisrael, I'm done. I'm not taking, Hashem said, you know, I'll get you another nation. Moshe Rabbeinu is like, no, these are my people. So actually, in next week's parsha, Va'ata Tetzaveh, Hashem says, and you will command Bnei Yisrael. This is talking about the essence of Moshe, Va'ata Tetzaveh. Moshe's name is not mentioned here, and it's showing the connection of Moshe Rabbeinu and us is above his name. It's at this very, very essence of Moshe Rabbeinu and us. That's our connection with him. Side note. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in addition to being this klali connection, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu could be so humble. Because he was so connected with Hashem, and he saw the reality. We think that, I think that I have, and I do, and we all do, we have talents given to us, we have opportunities given to us, we have circumstances, and we think it's us. So much of the time, even when we're trying to connect, even when I'll just do I, okay? Sometimes even when I think I'm being so spiritual, I'm still so full of myself. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble of all men. And we have the opportunity, we can be as humble as Moshe Rabbeinu. We can have that ability to do that. And it's really cool because next month we're going to talk about humility as far as matzah, from a different perspective. But from Adar, we're not so much talking about humility, but as much as bittul, as being nothing, as just being joyous, as just being connected with our essence. That's Adar. So it's the same thing, but we're looking at it from different perspectives. So not only is it about being nothing, but bittul is what comes along with bittul. The concept of Mesiras Nefesh. And here we'll connect to Purim as well. Now, Mesiras Nefesh has many connotations of people giving up their lives, and Hashem should, how do we say this? He should bring Mashiach, but he should knock, what are the words in Hebrew? whatever. Hashem should bless their souls. So many people have given their lives al Kiddush Hashem till these days today. It's happening. But Mesiras Nefesh is not just about giving our lives. And in Adar, Aleph Dar, bringing Hashem into this world, it's about living with Mesiras Nefesh in a very positive, joyous way. So how do we have Mesiras Nefesh in a positive, joyous way? Now, Purim, the Jews knew that they were going to be massacred for being Jews. If any of them had converted, then the decree would not affect them. Nobody converted. Everyone stayed true and strong. And this was a year's time where they had the opportunity to convert, and nobody did that. So they were living during that time as Mesiras Nefesh. We don't have to actually, a person doesn't actually have to die Mesiras Nefesh in order to have Mesiras Nefesh. When we say Shema, we are supposed to think about, one of the things is to think about, I'm giving my life for Hashem. I'm ready to give my life for Hashem when we say the Shema. Not only in Yom Kippur, but also every day. That is part of the things to think about during Shema. So Adar, it's a joyous Mesiras Nefesh. So Mesiras Nefesh is not only about giving up, it's about, I am so connected with Hashem that I'm one with Hashem, that I can't be separate from Hashem. That's Mesiras Nefesh. So it's choosing to be one with Hashem. Hey, welcome. Take some water. So, how is this connected? How is this connected with marriage and with joy? So it's actually connected with babies first. I'll start with the babies. Adar is the pregnant month. Why is Adar pregnant? It gives birth to spring. Okay. I'll give you a clue. Adar is big. Yes, it's a double month. It's a double month, so it's like pregnant. It's double. It's stuffed with a baby, okay. Because every 3 years we have two Adars, so it's double. So Adar, getting back to Bittul, what is 2 months is 60 days. And 60 is, in Jewish law, what's 60? In the kitchen, 60.
Like a 60th of
life? Yes, bottle b'shishim. You decide to accidentally drop some milk in a pot of chicken soup. What happens? Has anyone ever had anything really that was bottle b'shishim in their kitchen? It can happen, for sure it can happen. So let's say accidentally something drops, milchik drops in, it's batel b'shishim. So what happens? It's irrelevant. It doesn't matter. Sometimes there are some ingredients, sometimes like in whatever, that are batel b'shishim. So what is the concept of batel b'shishim that with us and with joy and everything, that we take our feelings of sadness, our feelings of disappointment, anxious, you know, take your pick, whichever one you like. We take that and it's batel b'shishim. We throw it into the pot of Adar. Adar is joy. Adar is our essence. Adar is connecting with Hashem, just being totally connected, not caring about anything else, just that connection. And we throw all our sadness, boom, into the Adar pot. Now, joy, see, that's very simple, like, from an utter level. Joy is very, 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 very complex. And this is our mission in Adar, is to have this kind of joy, that we just take those feelings and we throw them in the pot. So like if I come here wearing a red nose, I actually brought my ukulele. I decided I'm gonna learn ukulele. So far I know how to tune it. I don't know if anyone here knows how to play. Does anyone know how to play it? Kyla? Danny knows? Oh, Daniela knows? Oh, she told me she can only play a little bit. Okay, a little bit is good. But anyway, that's a joyous thing, I hope, once I learn how to play it. But anyway, sorry, I got distracted by my ukulele. I'm very excited about it. So when going back to Adar and being batal b'shishim, it's also the concept of overturning, because you're taking, let's say, something milchik, and suddenly it's not milchik anymore. So it's changing the nature of something. So getting to relationships. How is relationships connected with essence and connected and bottle and mesiris nefesh? So there's incredible power of relationships, of connecting and not having expectations and not just connecting, just focusing on the joy of connecting has this incredible, incredible power. I was once told by a very wise person, I was a little bit at odds with one of my kids many years ago, some few years ago, whenever it was. I don't want to give away any which one it was. But I was told, just connect. Just do things that are playful with your child. Just love your child. And that was very, very powerful. And Adar is this power of connecting. And when we're talking about marriage, and when we're married, we have... when we're married, we have expectations, or like, and it's a partnership. There's a whole business going on in a marriage, you know. It's, and to the power of focusing on connecting. Some people will a weekly date, whatever it is that you do to connect, you know, but it's just focusing on connecting. I don't want to get too psychological here, but leaving all the expectations away and just focusing on this love and this joy and being joyous together. In the first part of marriage, there's a lot of hoopla. There's you announce the engagement, and there's the party, and there's then you have the wedding, and there's the pressure and the dresses, and it's a whole bunch of fun, and it's very exciting, and it's kind of like when Hashem gave the Torah the first time. And it was a lot of miracles and excitement. But the Yidden also, you don't exactly know what you're getting into because you haven't lived it yet. So there is this essence of, there is this concept of you're not being forced to do it, although we were half coerced into it. Like, what, we're going to say no to God after he does all these miracles for us? We're going to say, no, we don't want your Torah? It's just, you know, not going to work. But that's the beginning of marriage. And then after you've been married a while, it's like Purim, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. The Jews, they rededicated themselves to Hashem. Now, Purim happened about 70 years after the first temple had been destroyed. So it was at a very, 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 very low point in the marriage of Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. It was kind of at the separation, divorce period over there. And what happened? The Jewish neshama came out and we said, hey, we've got these struggles. Our Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And you know what? We're connected. We are so connected at this essential level. And that's Purim. The Jews said, we're not going to convert. Haman can threaten to kill us. We're not converting. We are Jews and we are connected with Hashem, and we take upon ourselves this relationship again. So this is Purim and this is Adar. And it takes bittul, it takes self-nullification, letting go a little bit of yourself to say, I am dedicating myself to this essential relationship, to this thing. I like this, that it's possible to be perfect with imperfection. And that is the joy of Adar, that we're just joyous and it's perfect, even though there could be struggles and imperfections, but we are at a state of joy. Does anyone want to make a comment before I go on? No? Okay, you're smiling, that's good. Yeah? Yes, I would love to sing that. We are recording this, so we could do this at the end because then it'll be easy for them to snip it off. Yes, I would love to. And if you know how to play ukulele, we have. So So I spoke about letting go. Moshe Rabbeinu is connected with that because he had no ego. We spoke about that already. The fish. Let's just connect ourselves to the fish. The fish is the mazel. It's the of Adar, Dag, Pisces, in whatever language Pisces is in. So what is it about fish? And we'll see how fish are connected with this whole thing. Fish are connected with their source. They are in water. Even though water covers 80% of the world, but somehow we feel more free here. If we take a fish out of water, it's done. So fish and water is very much connected with Torah and Hashem, and it's clear. So fish represent, and it's submerged, it's like the hidden worlds. So fish represent bittul. They represent being nullified to Hashem. They're in a hidden world. They're totally connected with their source all the time. So that's just another way that Adar, everything, all the details of Adar, they all fit into the same theme. So do the Parshias. We have Truma, Tetzave, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudei. They're all depending on the year, and it's all about the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, about bringing Hashem into this world. Hashem D'Adar, so Hashem is living in this world, and that we're connecting with Hashem through our lives. And when someone would bring a karban, this was a very soul connection to Hashem that... like that this animal is literally dying instead of me for Hashem. It was a very, very strong, strong soul connection there to Hashem. And Hashem's Shechina comes right down into the Mishkan and into the Beis HaMikdash later on. So Adar... we bring down everything down into this world. And of course, Purim, the miracle, all happens in a very natural way, right? There's no splitting of the sea or anything. It's all, you could explain it naturally. It's a very political story. But it really is Hashem living in this world. So sometimes we need to open ourselves up to Hashem in our lives. Yesterday, we were scheduling an appointment and it was, so we couldn't come because it was Erev Purim. And then there were three of us. And then the other person, she was going to a conference, so that worked for her. And then the other person was going to be out of town. And she goes, wow, it's like it worked out for us. I'm like, yes, that's Hashgacha Pratis. You know, God created Purim to be, you know, Monday night, and it totally worked with all of our schedules, you know? So that's Hashem in our lives, but if we can connect with that and really see Hashem in every single moment of our lives, what power that gives to us, what security that gives to us, that we are feeling Hashem, that it's a very big security. Doing that, letting go and doing something joyful is actually very simple, like strumming an instrument, or I just wanted to brainstorm for a second ideas for joy. Yes, especially here in California where it's like 80 degrees. It's gorgeous, yes. Oh, yes, and spending time with people and connecting. Yes. That is, yeah, and eating the food. I was also thinking practicing vinahapachu, of turning things over. So like having breakfast for dinner, making smoothies one night, surprising everyone by looking different when they come home, if you're wearing a cool hat or a nose or whatever. But just looking like, actually, you know, I wore a very colorful dress today. That's like simple. Like, imagine someone comes home and you're, I don't know, full face of makeup and heels tonight. Like, what, you know? Or a red nose or whatever it is. But those are like, we could just jump into this pot of Adar. And you don't have to, you can let go of your brain. You don't have to overthink anything. You could just, like, we've been analyzing joy, but you could actually just do it. Learn the ukulele. or whatever, you know, drums. So I actually have, we did this, oh, and I said about the Mishkan. Okay, we did this last time, and I really liked it, so I wanted to do it again. We have 10 questions. Here, yeah, if you don't mind passing. We have 10 questions, and we'll just pass it around, and then 10 different people can ask. So last month it was a New Year's resolution for trees. This month it's reflections of a costume. What do our costumes think about? So, Shayna, can start with you.
Wait, I'm confused.
Oh, just read one question and then pass the microphone on to the next person.
Okay.
So you just read number one and then pass it on to. You don't know. Just we'll just read it. You can answer it if you like.
Okay. So number one, in what way am I true to my inner hidden self?
That's the costumes question.
Do I bring joy and laughter to myself and to those around me?
Was I genuinely happy when someone else won the best costume prize?
That's the bit so far.
Did I do something brave because I was dressed up?
Okay. What if no one in the world had my costume?
That's number nine. So let's go back to number five.
I didn't bring my glasses.
That's okay.
Okay, you get your turn.
Oh.
Number five.
Did I behave differently because I was in costume?
How did I feel to be someone else for a day?
What is below the costume of each and every one of us?
Is my daily costume consistent with my inner self?
And we did what if no one in the world had my costume. And the last one, Tova.
Can my costume become me?
I don't know what the costume is, but those are some reflections. So a very, very, very happy Chodesh of connecting, of joy. I mean, I think this is something we can all jump into the bandwagon for or the pot. It should really be a joyous month. And we said this before you came, but this is practice for Mashiach, just overturning stuff, being different. So have fun with it. I love that the Torah wants us to have fun and wants us to be joyous. Hashem wants us to be happy. So let's go for it. And I hope to see you next month, Amir Hashem.